All right, we're going to continue. We started last week talking about the call, finding God's purpose for our life. The call, finding God's purpose for our life, and how important it is that we do that. You know, we're here not by chance, but for a purpose and for a reason, you know, that God has put inside of us. And today, our thought, what we're going to look at is that we need to be in it to win it. You need to be in it to win it. Because if we're not in it to win it, then we're just going to be floating through life. Now, are you the kind of person God is looking for to do His will? You know, are we that kind of person? You know, we're going to look at that here in a moment about what God's looking for. And what makes us that kind of person? Have you ever done something in your life and your heart just wasn't in it? You know, I have. We all have. You know, we're doing something and then we're not really, our passion is not behind it. And what happens is that it's hard to keep momentum. It's hard to keep ourselves energized and to keep on keeping on, you know, in what we're doing if our heart's not in it. And that's why, you know, and I believe that we can train our heart, in a sense, to be into things and to be better focused, because life does boil down to, you know, we need to find something in our life that we can put our heart into. And maybe you found that, and that's great. But I believe that God has more for us out there. And last week, we looked at the scripture to start off with in Matthew that said, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. I don't know about you, but that just, I struggled with that scripture every time I read that. And just kind of wondering, many are called, but why does this, not everybody get chosen? And we kind of track that down a little bit, you know, and the idea that, you know, it comes to back to the idea that we have to respond in obedience. And we looked at the wedding invitation, you know, that passage there, that many were invited and they said they would come, but yet when it come right down the time, they said, I'm too busy. Well, I got other stuff going on. So they never showed. And they weren't chosen. And we need to make sure that we don't fall into that pile. Next, and the main point we looked at last week was the idea of never forget the God factor working in your life. And see, that's sometimes what we forget. I don't know about you, but I get touched from God every now and then. And then as I'm going through life, just kind of cycling through, you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then all of a sudden I kind of forget about God. And that God's in this, and God wants me to do this, and it becomes, you know, you're just kind of going through the motions. So there's things you can learn if we pay attention, right? Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 16:9 is our passage we're going to start with today. 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles. We're going to go Old Testament here starting out. Okay, it says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your opportunity You've given us today to be able to come into this building, to be able to worship You. We thank You so much for that corporate anointing. But right now, Lord, I thank You for the individual anointing that You placed on me, Lord. I want to use it for Your glory. Lord, stir up the gift inside of me, and Lord, I thank You that You're going to bring revelation knowledge to each of us to be able to step into and to follow Your plan for our life, Lord, because we know that we all have a call upon our life, and Lord, we need to step into that calling, whatever it may be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so first point we're going to look at today is God's on the lookout. Now, I want to mention, you know, sometimes when people get the idea that of the calling, when you talk about the call, you know, there is a difference. Saying we're all called by God to do something, but there is a different calling, you know, in the fivefold ministry it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, you know, you have your apostle, your prophet, your evangelist, your pastor, and teacher. Now, that is a little different calling, but nevertheless, I think there's enough evidence in Scripture that we can all surmise. You may feel, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a prophet, apostle, whatever. But yet we all have a call upon our life. And we need to be able to find out what God has called us to do, because once you find that out and you start to work that and you start to really be strong in your calling, then you're going to start to find fulfillment in your life. And that's my goal for each and every person. I want you to feel fulfilled. Because, you know, some may say, well, I'm fulfilled, you know, I'm fulfilled with my children. My children fulfill me. Newsflash, they're going to move away. Hopefully, amen. Or move out anyway. Glory to God. You know, you got a 30-year-old living with you, it gets a little dicey sometimes. Different opinions, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got the old bull and the young bull. You know, but we won't go into that today. But, you know, so all these things change. But I will tell you one thing that never changes. God never changes. And if our relationship with God and doing what He wants us to do and whatever that entails in it, it may change into different things. You know, like I've mentioned, I started out teaching little kids before, you know, and then worked my way through the system a little bit, shall we say, learning more things about God until finally I, you know, got to this phase. You know, I know this ain't my last phase. God has some more things. But, you know, the idea that I want to see from the Scripture is that God is on the lookout and that we need to be in it to win it. You know, this is talking about King Asa, and he had trusted God before, if you read earlier in the passage, if you want to, and he experienced great victory, but along came this second time, he had went through some things in his life, and then all of a sudden, he decided not to trust God no more. And he decided to hire the king of, I think it was Aram, to come in and, you know, kind of siphon him away from helping the king of Israel. And then, you know, God sent a prophet to tell him, hey, what's up? Here you trusted me for this other big deal. Now you got this going on and you turn your back on me. And they thought and the problem was, is the fact that his heart wasn't with God. And see, that's what we need to fix in our life. Our heart needs to be with God. Because God is looking to and fro. He's looking down for somebody whose heart is ripe that God can work through. See, everybody can see people's actions, but God can see the motives inside our heart. And really, that's what God's looking for. Have you ever wondered why God used somebody and they didn't use you instead? You know, number one, may not know that answer. But number two, it might be the fact that their heart, God looked at their heart and they were the right person for that job. Even though on the outside you looked at their actions, you think, wow, how can God use that person? You know, they don't go to church near as much as I do. You know I pray more than they do. But how could God use them? Well, see, God's look at the heart. You can be messed up in a lot of ways, but if your heart's right with God, God's going to work through you. He's going to find a way. He's going to find a way to make it happen. And that's the procedure that we go through when we're learning about God and getting stronger in Him. Now, I'm not talking, you know, that we're against holiness. You know, there comes a time when we need to mature and grow up a little bit. But, you know, we don't need to get to the place where we're looking to some heathen king or some worldly system to try to put us over, because we can never forget the God factor working in our life. We need to get to the place where we trust God. See, when our heart belongs to God, God moves on our behalf. And that's what we have to remember. When our heart belongs to God, you know, there's a lot of situations, you know, people give their heart and they take it back and all this, but one thing we need to do when it comes to God, when we give God our heart, don't take it back. Just let him work in you. Let Him work through you. It's not going to be sunshine every day. I guarantee that. You know, if it was, everybody could be doing it. You know what I'm saying? You know, we could bottle it and sell it, you know, on the internet and make a lot of money. But you can't. Sometimes things in life, you just go through stuff. But it doesn't really matter about the circumstances. What matters, see this king, he had witnessed God's deliverance before. He had seen, witnessed God showing up big time. But now this other enemy come in again. And maybe God wasn't there quite as quick as He wanted Him to be. So he sold out and instead of, you know, and he took his heart back from God and trusting God, and then he put it in this other thing. He bought some helps, what he did. He took money out of the treasury and he bought some deliverance. You know what I'm saying? And see, we got to be careful about that. You know, I'm not saying that God couldn't do it that way sometime, but this time, you know, God was looking for somebody. He's looking down. He's looking down right now for somebody to respond and trust in Him. You know, because God, like I said, has the ability to look beyond our actions and He sees our motives in our heart. And we learn how to trust God. If we never learn how to trust Him, we're never going to fulfill the call of God on our life. And that's, God can tell if we're in it to win it. And see, what the king here did is he took the glory away from God. See, God gets the glory when he comes in and fights our battles. And, you know, all our great accomplishments that you and I do, you know, in my opinion, they need to point to the Lord, not the person in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? You know, natural glory, it fades. You know, you know, there's a lot of one-hit wonders out there. You know what I'm saying? Somebody did something big one time and everybody, oh, wow, you're great. Well, then where are they now? Nowhere. Because we need to get to the place in our life where we put God and let him get the glory. And when we do that, it keeps us humble. But then through humility, God exalts us. And what I like about this passage here, it says, God will strongly support. And that's kind of what our theme is going to be today a little bit. How God strongly supported him. You know, what I found out in my life, that God not only will have our back, but God will also go before us and lead us to victory. And that's why we need to learn how to be led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is alive. He's the third person of the Trinity, and he's here today. And he wants to work in our lives, and he wants us to learn his following, to be able to stay close and to what he wants us to do, so we become so dependent on him. And now we're going to look at a New Testament person that kind of learned it the hard way a little bit. And we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 12 and 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13. And here the Apostle Paul's talking to Timothy, kind of cheering him up a little bit. And he said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. See, God will look over a lot of stupid people, you know what I'm saying, and let you go on that. But God don't like religious people, you know what I mean, doing things in the name of God that ain't right. And Paul kind of fell into that, but yet he said he was ignorant about it. He didn't understand it. And here, what I want us to see, the idea is that he feels that God considered him faithful. Now, faithfulness, how important that is. You know, he was strengthened because he was faithful. The word strengthen is talking about cause somebody to have the ability. Now, I don't know about you. I have some ability, but I lacketh a lot of ability in a lot of different ways. And I have witnessed in my life when God has come in and he has strengthened me and has given me an ability that I never thought I ever had. And it came from God. And then we start to utilize those tools and those things, that giftings that God puts inside of us. And see, that's what Paul was talking about here. I mean, you know his story when he started out as Saul. I mean, how he went around persecuting the church. You know, I've done some bad things. You know, I'm not comparing myself, you know, putting Paul down, but, you know, I didn't go out and arrest a lot of Christians and, you know, beat them and, you know, throw them in prison. You know, I did some bad things. But I don't think I ever did anything that bad. But yet, God used Paul. And he was trying to get this thought through to Timothy. See, Timothy was raised by some godly women. His grandma and mom told him about Jesus. And God bless you, grandparents, if you're getting your kids in church where they need to be, your parents, you know, and teaching them about the things of God. And see, Timothy had learned these things. And so he probably hadn't really, you know, done a lot of, you know, bad things in his life, technically, compared to Paul. But yet Timothy was getting discouraged. I don't know if you've ever been discouraged in life. You know, maybe things hasn't went the way that you had them mapped out. You thought when, you know, maybe, you know, God was going to do something in your life and you thought you'd have been on TV by now or something like that or doing something big, you'd have been a household name or you'd be highly recognized in the community for being so spiritual. And maybe people look down on you. Maybe they don't think you're good enough. It doesn't matter what they think. What matters is the fact that are you following God? Is your heart sold out to him? And see, God is the judge. People are not. People can judge all they want, but their judgment means nothing. Diddly squat. And we need to take the power away from those people. I believe I'm preaching to somebody right now. We need to take the power away from those people and give the power back to God in our life. That he's the one. He's the one that we're wanting to please. And I found out that I've said I can't, but I found out God can through me. And that's what Paul was doing here to Timothy. Timothy was a young preacher, and the church was deserting him. People were leaving due to persecution. He was having a hard time holding things together. And you know, I'll tell you what, if you let your self-image be tied up into that stuff, you're going to get discouraged. And that's how he was. He was discouraged. You know, things weren't going the way that he wanted in life. And I don't know how far, you know, it was going in his heart, but, you know, maybe sometimes in our heart. I mean, there's a lot of people pull back and they quit and they don't keep going on. God, I prayed for this and you let somebody die, or I prayed for this and this happened in my family. And, you know, these things just didn't go the way that I wanted. And God, you know, why? And now I'm mad. I can't follow a God like that. Yes, you can. You can follow him. You stay true to him. Because this world means nothing compared to the world to come. This world is just a training place. It's a place for training for reigning. And if we get to the place that we're not moved by what we see or feel, we're not moved by the things going on in this world, these things of this world are just, you know, symptoms, and we got to get to the place in our life, you know, where we decide that we want to follow God with all our heart, and we give him our heart and we don't take it back. And it doesn't matter if anybody else wants to go with us, but we're going to go. We're going to, you know, we're going to follow him to the best ability that we have. You know, Paul, you know, was telling Timothy when he went into his testimony there a little bit about being a persecutor of their church. And, you know, he said, look how messed up I was and God used me. How many can tell that to somebody? You know, I can. You know, I don't tell my whole testimony yet, you know, but I'll tell you what, you know, God's using me and I was messed up. You know, I did some messed up things in my life. You know, I never persecuted the church, you know, but it never came up. You know, it wasn't an issue with me at that time. Who knows, I might have. You know, but I was messed up. So I can actually tell somebody that God used me, he can use anybody. And I believe that. I believe if God can use me, he can use anybody, because God has a plan and we need to follow that. And once we find that out, we're going to be in a place of fulfillment, of follow him, no matter what's going on around us. Now, Paul was thankful because he found out what God could do through him. Now, this is the saddest thing that I find out probably in this world for a Christian, is that we dabble in Christianity, and that's what I did starting out a little bit. I had a hunger, but I wasn't starving, you know what I'm saying? You know, I had a little bit of hunger for God, and I started to go that way, but I mean, I wasn't starving, so it wasn't like I really was ravenously going after God. So I dabbled a little bit, just kind of, you know, feeling things out and checking it out and kind of learning some things along the way. You know, what God's about. I mean, I know it was true. I mean, I believe there was a creator, but I really didn't know how personal God wanted to be in our life. I thought it was one of those deals that you didn't really find nothing out till you died. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's kind of the information I had starting out. Now, we don't really know God that good here. You got to wait till you die to figure everything out. But then, I bought a Bible. Duh. I started to get the news firsthand. You know, what God wanted to reveal to me. And I found out that, you know, God wants to put us in the service like Paul had experienced, and he operates by faithfulness. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the best looking. You don't have to be the best preacher. You don't have to be the best teacher. But if you're faithful, God is going to use you. He's going to use you big time. And see, then you're going to find out what God can do through you. And this is what I feel that a lot of believers maybe haven't experienced yet to the best of your ability. I'll tell you what, you can experience God in a powerful way as an usher. I did say I started out with little kids. That's not true. I forgot. I started out as an usher, you know. And you know, people looked at me and I guess they figured I could, you know, pass a plate good as anybody else. Say, hey, do you want to be an usher? Sure, why not? Because I like to get involved. And see, I found out, and I'll tell you what, I experienced the anointing of God while I was ushering, because I felt so good serving God. You can feel as good serving God cleaning a toilet as you can preaching a sermon if your heart's in it. But your heart has to be in it. And that's the key. If you find that key, there is no stopping you. You are dangerous to the devil. Matter of fact, you're going to be one of the greatest irritants on this earth that he's ever seen. Because God is wanting to put people in the service. You know, Paul looked like Jesus' last choice, I'll be honest with you. I mean, there was a lot of people that he could have picked. You know, why would you pick somebody that's actually tearing things apart, causing all kinds of problems? But Jesus picked him because he had witnessed something in him that was very important. That Paul was always in what he did. He was in it to win it. And Jesus could take someone who was doing it all wrong, and he helped him to start doing it all right by giving him a new life. And see, that's the new life that Jesus Christ has come to give. You know, it was like a second chance. And I don't know about you, but that is the best thing I can explain about being born again, is that God has given you a second chance. And if you're not born again, you need to get born again today. You need to let Jesus come into your heart. Because Paul was in it to win it. And one thing that Paul did, like I said, his heart was in everything. He went after it full blast. You know, he didn't pussyfoot around. You know what I mean by that? Have you ever watched a cat stalking a mouse? Just one little paw, real quiet. Just making sure they don't make the wrong step. You know what I'm saying? They're stalking something. And see, that's how a lot of people live their Christianity. They just kind of pussyfoot around. They're so afraid of making a wave. I'll tell you what, you can throw a little rock out into the water and you make a ripple. I'm forgetting a big rock, man. Just throw a big rock out there. Let that thing boo. Just see the ripple. I want to be the guy that makes the ripple. You know what I'm saying? I want to be that person to make a dent in this world. And see, that's what Paul did. He made one of the greatest dents in Christianity because of his tenacity of being sold out. I mean, he went through a lot of things. Lastly, I want to look at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Should be a somewhat familiar passage for many of you. It said, brethren and sisterin too, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Then he says, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what I see from this passage is Paul's tenacity. He said, I press on. You know, one thing that he had to do, now he always brought it up every now and then because I think it did bug him a little bit, was the fact of his past. You know, how he did used to persecute the church. And I think, you know, he used that as a motivator somewhat. But I think God wants us to get past our past, because our past is always holding us back and keeping us in bondage, then we need to deal with it. See, to find God's purpose in our life, we need to keep moving forward. Now, I'm going to tell you something about myself, is I've missed it a time or two, more than I can count. I've missed it. I thought maybe God would want me to do this, but then I found out that wasn't totally quite right. But I press on. You know, I don't say, oh God, I missed it. How could you let me miss it, God? I quit. I don't want to be out there looking stupid. You know what I mean? I press on. There's nothing back there. I've been back there. I lived there before, and I left. Why would I want to go back? Why would I want to go back to something that I had left behind? But yet a lot of people do. A lot of ministers get out of the ministry discouraged. It's hard sometimes for some. No cakewalk. People get out of different situations, you know, because it gets really hard. You know, there's going to be some setbacks, people. Be ready for it. You know, if you're perfect, you know, you'd be in heaven. That's the only way we're going to be perfect. When we get rid of this old body. This body that's prone to making bad ideas, or getting bad ideas and making bad choices. You know, we just got to get beyond that. I press on. You know, we need to be in it to win it. We need to go and follow Jesus no matter what. You know, like I said, if your heart is right with Him, He's gonna work with you. So guard your heart with all diligence, the Bible says in Proverbs. You know, make sure you protect it. Don't, and you young people, just don't give your heart out to some any goof that comes along and going to break your heart. You know what I'm saying? You girls, boys are stupid, right? We do stupid things when we're teenagers. Don't trust them. You know, stay true to God. What's the highest percentage? You usually don't marry who you date in high school. Some do, but I think the highest percentage is that you don't. You know, you move on. So guard your heart. It's okay to be friends, but don't get yourself in a place where, you know, you make yourself miss it. Now, you can make a lot of mistakes along the way, like I said, but if you're in it to win it, you know, God's going to use you. Now, we can learn from our past, and I believe that. I've learned a lot of things in my past, and I've used that to share my testimony and help people. But in the Greek here, what this is talking about, it's a little bit different. In the Greek, it means to completely forget our past. To completely forget it. Don't look at it again. Don't pick up that rock and look under it. If you've given it to God, let Him have it. And don't let nobody else bring it up to you. One of your friends say, "You remember when you did that?" "No. I don't remember that." "How can you not remember that?" "Well, if I remember it and God chooses to forget it, then I make myself better than God. I choose to forget. I press on. It doesn't matter what I used to be. It matters where I'm going." Amen. That's the most important thing. Don't let people hold you back. Don't let people bring up your past and try to always drag you down, thinking that you're not good enough. Well, Dad, nobody's good enough. That's why we need Jesus. Amen. That's why we get Jesus working on the inside and taking us to the place He wants us to be. And it's a good trip. I mean, it's a journey. And sometimes in that journey, I was just thinking about this today, you know, how many like going downhill? I mean, I do. I mean, I love going downhill. You can go fast sometimes. You know, I did some snow skiing when I lived in Denver, and I was just thinking about that today, and man, all the snow we've had here, but they get a lot of snow out there. And you know, you hop on that lift, and you know, sometimes that can be a little dicey when you start out if you've never done it. You know, a lot of things can go wrong. I've watched a lot of catastrophes. But then you make it to the top, and then you got to get off, and that's sometimes not as graceful as it looks on TV. But then you get to go downhill. But think about those forefathers in the skiing movement, whoever they are. They had to walk up the hill. They didn't have a ski lift. Just think about how rewarding the journey would be when you know that you really had to pursue it. You really had to go after it to get to that hill so you had the opportunity to go down. I want us to see that that's what our relationship was like with Jesus. It's not by works, lest any man boast, I know that. But I'll tell you what, you know, there is the side of the coin where we have to pursue after God and we have to do the things that He's called us to do. And there's some things we need to walk away from and there's things that we need to walk towards. I press on. That's what Paul said. As a matter of fact, it's talking in the Greek there a little bit. When he's running, I'm not much of a runner anymore. To be honest, I'm more of a short sprinter, you know what I'm saying? You know, I can do bursts like anybody else. I could outrun a lot of people short distance, like 10 or 15 feet. But after that, you know, they catch me, you know. And, like, you know, I jiggle more than jog, you know what I'm saying? I know that. So that's why, you know, I don't do that. I do other things, you know. But, you know, the idea here of leaning forward at the end so you can cross that line. You're leaning forward. You're leaning into it. Now, if you run like this backwards, you can't go as fast. But if you're leaning into it, you can go a lot better. And see, that's what we need to do is we need to lean forward in the call of God upon our life. We need to press forward, to press in, to be able to get where He wants us to be. And we need each other because sometimes we get down, don't we? Sometimes we just don't feel like taking another step. You know, that's why when I work out, I try to work out with somebody because last thing I want to do is quit in front of them. Amen. You know what I mean? I don't want to quit in front of them. If I'm there by myself, I can quit. Or at least dog it for a little while, you know, set this one out. But if somebody else is there, I know I don't want to look like that. So I at least try to keep moving a little bit, whatever I can, no matter what the pain is. You know, I just don't want to be a quitter. And see, that's what we need each other, and that's why we can learn and to have other people come in our life, because it says, don't look back, don't remember the past, and this is a running term. Again, this is talking about running. Now, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in the front of a race. You know, if you've never been in the lead, this won't mean anything to you. You know, but if you are actually in the lead for a little while, it's talking about don't listen or don't think about the runners behind you. Because if you think about them, it's going to cause you to fail. You just run your race. You just focus on the finish line of where you're supposed to be. Don't worry about what's going on behind you. And see, that's what we need to focus on, is where does God want us to be? Because we need to be in it to win it. We need to keep pressing on. And lastly, it talks about the call of God. It talks about us calling us to a higher place. It's a high calling. Now, I don't want to say that we're better than everybody else. We're not. We're just smarter. Amen? I think it's smart to follow God. There's a lot of people who don't want to follow God. I'm not saying they're stupid. Don't get me wrong. Don't read into it. But I'm just saying we're smart. It's smart to follow God. It's smart to be where God wants you to be and to find out His plan for your life and to follow that calling wherever it may lead you. The call is from heaven and it's to heaven. And this passage stresses that commitment that we need to have to fulfill that call of God on our life. And if you've never done that, I encourage you to do so. Now, the only way we can get from here to there is to stay the course. Here meaning where we are now and there meaning where God wants us to be. See, there's always a place where God wants us to be that we're heading towards. And the thing is that we're never probably going to ever get to where we're supposed to be this side of glory, but it doesn't negate the fact that we need to keep heading that way, getting to where God wants us to be. And if we do that, following the Lord, you know, it should never be a half-hearted endeavor, but a wholehearted adventure. And I will say this, it is an adventure, you know, following God. If you haven't done that, I want you to take that on today, you know, by answering the call. Many are called, but few are chosen. Are you going to be chosen? Let's pray. Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the penetrating power of your Holy Spirit, the presence of God that's here in this place, to be able to touch each and every one of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that we know that you have a plan for us.